And welcome to our show, Geeks Are Wired Podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
Coming to you live from an air-conditioned bedroom.
Because it's so hot. Temperature's just too darn high.
That's right, too much.
And in an extremely cool basement, we have Joe.
Hey, I'm glad to be back. I have no excuse for missing last week other than lapse of memory. So.
Well, we did move it. And it's better for everyone's schedule.
I was watching Trainspotting 2 and then was like, oh yeah, oops.
Yeah, it happens. Well,
You're like picking up for Jordan Slack, but forgetting to
exactly.
Last week.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then we've got Bill, the consistent one, who remembers when he reschedules. I want you to, like, forget one day that we all show up and then you're watching a movie and go, oh, crap.
Ah.
That'd be really funny if he just, like, went ahead and did it in his basement.
Like, anyways, Bill.
Like, I even come to town and, Bill's just down in the... Like, Bill's, like, just, like, playing Xbox while we're using his recording equipment. I'm, like, sitting there at the soundboard. I'm, like, spilling my drink all over it and just, like, eating, like, tacos on top of it.
I'd be like, I dumped an icy all over it. I'm sorry.
You're just, like, adjusting all the sounds and you're like, I think this is going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, one day we'll do it.
And then you're going to have to publish it and, you know, clean it up. See how good you guys can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just give you a key. You can just
do our editing.
It is like it, when we finally post it online, it just sounds like a toilet flush and doesn't stop running.
You're like, what does he do when he edits this?
I know.
It's like, oh, no, we got the toilet channel on here. We're supposed to. Bill usually just drops the level on that down. Ah.
Right.
All the running water.
Oh my god, that'd be a good name for a podcast, the Pottycast. It's like, today we have Matthew Kohler of the Kohler Corporation to talk about the Flushmaster 10,000. How are you doing today, Matt? Pretty good. I just poured a bunch of golf balls down a toilet to test out. You're not in Home Depot, they do that as like that's the benchmark for a good toilet. Like, you dump like a bucket of golf balls in there.
And let them successfully flush.
Yeah, like you, like on the end caps and stuff, they have like a poster of like a bunch of golf balls in a toilet. And first of all, like who's looking at that saying, like who's this benefit? Who looks at that and says, what comes out of me is like a bucket of golf balls, or who literally has to flush golf balls down the toilet?
It would be fun to be a toilet salesperson. You're just like. Are you European? Well, you wish you would be when you try all the rage that's cleaning their buttholes across the pond. You're like, well, luckily, you don't have to exchange your citizenship because it's coming to an American bathroom near you.
No, I was thinking the Americans definitely need those toilets.
Yeah.
But the only thing is, like, whatever the specialty store is selling these eventually gets their, you know, water shut off or their access rights because they're constantly just dumping golf balls. Like, look, it takes all the golf balls.
Yeah.
I need to start like a business making septic tank safe golf balls. Just for people who like power user nerds who like to benchmark their toilet on a regular basis. Like Tom's Hardware would be like my number one customer.
You never even use it. It's just purely clean water and golf balls. You're like, I need you to change my septic tank. And they're like, dude, what's going on in here?
I actually use a chem toilet outside because they're more environmentally friendly, but I like the hobby of flushing golf balls down the toilet.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, they just need to be, you know, flushable or, you know, toilet safe.
Exactly.
You know, kind of like those wipes. These golf balls are flushable.
That's right.
They clog up the entire sewer system in the city.
Oh,
they
man,
it just
backs up, and there's just like a fountain of golf balls blowing out the top. Like, you look down the tub drain, it's just completely full of golf balls.
Wow. Yeah, it's just overflowing with golf balls. It doesn't back up with water, just golf balls.
That's right. You can go sell them all to people at the golf courses, be like, these are your official toilet balls.
At some point, your local golf course has changed name to Flushing Meadows.
I know. They're like, they've been officially tested.
Yeah. Okay.
I know. It's like, here's a picture of my septic man looking angry at me as he cleaned out this very ball that you're about to buy from me.
Yep.
But okay. Anyways.
All right. Well, I have additional information about what we were talking about last week with the AI that Facebook had.
Yeah, just look like
remember, they made up their own language.
Facebook
and looked
had
like
AI
text.
That maybe didn't invent a language, just happened to be like the two dumbest people on earth having a conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what happened with that? The reason it freaked them out so much is they, while they were drunk texting each other, they were giving them commands to also do tasks, and they had to talk to each other to do these tasks. No matter the complexity, they got the task done with that drunk text. So that's why they were like, no, we don't know what
for
you guys are actually saying because
earth,
this doesn't make sense
too,
that you
so
guys should be getting
this
finished.
I mean, that's not
finished.
That great of a feat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
They just need to introduce. Hey, here,
like,
come on,
I mean,
Tim.
To get
normal
point,
drunk
to
guy, get over there.
Exactly.
What are they saying?
Oftentimes, all it takes to show up on time.
I don't know.
These Facebook nerds that are really concerned about it, they probably shouldn't be
exactly
that worried.
Consistently.
Like that's pretty baseline.
Well, what else were they saying to each other? Were they calling like the humans? You know, their creator stupid? Were they?
Oh, it'd be great some doctoral
Skynet
student at Stanford was just sitting there analyzing this, and then they just had this moment of like, oh my god, they're just really stupid. They're just incredibly dumb.
Yeah.
Our GDP would go up if everyone just like started.
So
much.
We literally need
started,
three
like,
words.
Chugging,
it's all
like,
we need. We get everything said.
Michigan's water. Like just everyone just like start guzzling lead, like and just got like incredibly dumb and got all kinds of like brain defects. Like our GDP would just fly up through the roof.
There we go. That's apparently what we need.
Yeah. Have you guys ever had the Facebook manipulations?
Which ones?
Like, I had two because I was unfriending a bunch of people that I, like, forgot how I even knew them.
Whoa.
And then Facebook was like, hey, Joe, do you really know what it means to unfriend somebody? You'll never be able to see any of their moments. And I was like, I know, Facebook. That's why I'm doing it. And then the next one was I never really update statuses, but I did two in a row.
I know,
and they sent me, like, this whole diagram that's just like, look, Joe. People are really responding to your posts.
That's such a gross feature.
This many people
liked
it. This many people loved it.
You're meeting performance
goals and having
friends. You had
this many comments. I was like, shut up, Facebook.
Don't
manipulate me.
Like, for people who never like talked to another human being and like have just only worked office jobs in the time they're 50.
Exactly.
Like that's what having like a social life is. It's like how can you model having fun in a flow chart, not unironically?
I know. That's what I thought. I was like, thank you, Facebook.
Well, I did notice that, you know, because you have popped up as one of my most people that like most of my stuff on these occasional weeks. What's the other? I've posted 7 days in a row, and they got reactions.
Exactly.
Yeah, the most liker, the most commenter.
No, I love that. They're just like, wow, good job. That was just the way they put it. They're like, people are really responding. It reminded me of the Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, bring.
Oh, no.
Did you watch that one, Alex?
The original British run. Like, they all kind of run together in my head, though. It's just like,
it's got Ron Howard's daughter, the redhead from Jurassic World.
Like, I can't really keep them straight. Like, I remember, like, the Christmas special from the first season, and then, like, the Prime Minister Pig's Pig episode. Which is still like one of the funniest things ever. Like that's some of the best television of all time.
Yeah. No, you should watch that one. It's like the very first one of the new season, because that's why it creeped me out with Facebook, because I was like, we are heading that direction, because that one, like, all of your interactions gives you, like, an aggregate score from, like, 0
like,
to 5.
Like, I mean, we're going that way, but China's,
like,
already like,
your
there.
Life is
like,
based the, on, oh, if you're not China's a 4-point like something, I mean, you can't got, qualify like, own, for this like, apartment
got,
or this
own,
job or,
equivalents
like
this wine
gym.
And, like, pretty much every other social network. But they have, like, these good citizen programs that they gamify. Just like doing good citizen type stuff. And if you aren't like if you say too many like subversive things, like your score goes down and like you can't get loans and that. So I mean it's already a reality. I mean they could just run a frontline special on that stupid social network, which just makes me wonder what, like, don't.
Yeah, that
I guess
exactly
maybe it's like compulsory to sign up for something like that. But if you're like old and don't know how to use a computer, like I don't know what you do in China. I guess maybe it doesn't matter because you like inhale so much smog you're gonna die at 50. But
exactly. No, it was pretty amusing. That basically, yeah, that is the episode, Alex. It is China, and that's what it reminded me of. Because even the girls like, how can I get to a 4.5? And that's what reminded me of Facebook. They're like, good job, Joe. We predict if you put out one selfie, two guitar videos, and a couple movie reviews with a few witty puns, your popularity will grow exponentially by 2.5%. And I was like, thanks, Facebook. I don't care.
And then Facebook will know more about you, too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Facebook own Instagram now, though?
Yeah, so, needless to say, I was like, never mind, I'm just keeping my guitar videos on Instagram, because Instagram doesn't say, way to go, Joe! Even though it's... Yeah, but they don't harass you like that. I've never had them.
Well, you get more of that information if you do change your account over to the business account.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because then it goes, oh, these people looked at this. Here's your, all your metrics are doing. You have this many more likes than you did last week, or this fewer likes. I haven't been posting to our Geeks Are Wired Instagram for a couple weeks. Just got real busy and changed that up again. Get back into it. It's fun.
Yeah, it's good times. It makes me laugh, though. I like good old Facebook.
Yeah. It'd make it easier to, when they Facebook bought them to post in between everything.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else do we got?
I didn't actually like read an article on it.
HBO.
I saw it at the gym on like CNN or something. I feel like a
they
grandpa
got
for a minute,
hacked last week.
Yeah, apparently the whole season.
I know. I knew about the
hackers,
most recent episode.
Like,
did they release
for
more than
they
that
just,
one?
Like, dumped it, like all Alex? The files they got. They done got from got, and I just dropped them out. They done got. Yeah, so I don't read that much. I don't read that much online anyway. That talks about Game of Thrones, so like it hasn't been spoiled.
Yeah,
for me
it wouldn't
yet,
be too hard. I mean, there's only seven
I've
episodes
to,
this season,
clear
so
path
on,
like,
if you got the fourth one,
like that,
it wouldn't
so
be too hard to get the last three.
Get spoiled accidentally. What do you think of the latest episode?
I know, I did good too. I was glad because I was gone and I tried to watch the new episode as soon as possible, but... Yeah, I really liked it because up to that point, I knew there was going to be something special at the end of it. Because when I was watching it, I was like,
when,
you're getting all the
Bronze
awesome homecomings
like,
and really,
off,
like,
Bronze,
satisfying
Bronze
interactions, but it still was pretty
like
much
series,
just like a
then,
rock
like,
solid
someone,
episode.
Like,
and then
him,
once
I
saw
like,
it shaping
yeah,
up towards the end, I was like, all right, this is
like,
why people
so
are
funny.
More excited than usual.
Also, just
it was
like one Dothraki to like just kind of throw Bronze game off.
I know. I know. Yeah.
I guess others haven't watched the latest episode yet. The crossbow not working. I laughed so.
I was hoping they'd have the twist where
like that was the other
Jamie
thing I loved the most.
Got
the
burned
crossbow
by the dragon,
was so
and then
freaking
it fades
useless.
Away and he's like,
they built it
surprise,
up like the first
I'm
half
also
of the season.
Dragonborn.
And I was like, a crossbow doesn't seem like a great idea to fight a dragon, and then it doesn't like do anything.
Well, it worked. It just wasn't the greatest.
I know.
You basically have to ask the dragon to stand still.
Well, it's because where they hit it. Because I think it would have been the skull, definitely. It has to be a headshot to actually matter. But
it needs to be rapid fire, too. That's what made me laugh. I'm like, you have to have the perfect aim and then nail it right in the eyeball.
It's like trying to hit a dragon with a pickup truck, and the pickup truck is a robot.
Yeah,
because
when he shot it with the skull, that's why it made it seem so awesome. But I'm like, when it's moving, that's a really hard hit to get.
Like,
especially when it clipped the wing. It's like, yeah, that was realistic. He just pissed off the dragon.
Like, usual thing in Game of Thrones when there's like some seemingly invincible army. Like, with what happened to Stannis' army, like, just cut off their food supply. Like, just like, do something like that instead, because it's stupid to fight the dragons directly. So, like, dumping all these resources into killing dragons is so stupid. And then Dany is, like, so dumb that he's just, like, attacking, like, Jaime's army instead of torching, like, the 1,000 boats that could very easily take over the world. Like, there's White Walkers, but there's also, like, a navy that could just embarrass, like, the Spanish flotilla during the 1500s. Like, this insane world-ending navy is just, like, fighting against one crappy pyramid. And, like, nobody's even paying attention to this navy that could definitely conquer the world. Yeah, and they built it, like, 30 minutes. Like Uncle Crappy Flat character is like the greatest like logistics and supply genius like has ever been seen up to that point in the entire Game of Thrones universe. That he got like
they are the magical navy too,
because like,
apparently they can sneak up on anybody.
Yes,
I know. Especially because when that happened, they're like,
"Yeah, but they also
she
they
ran
also
away with
three
her best men and best
boats,
like, and then this season it's like,
crossbows.
Oh, but luckily that doesn't matter
so
because I'm
this
a god.
Crossbow all over the continent
the also,
in case a dragon
actually,
shows up.
The dragon he had a decent chance. You just need to aim.
It's
better.
A bad weapon. It's a really
Game of Thrones,
bad idea.
Nobody knows
it's like
how
to
zig or zag.
It's like trying to take a big rifle to fight a fighter jet. It's not going to work."
Yeah. Well, now one.
Yeah, and like just next time, Danny's gonna look for the big one box and torch it first, and then
yeah,
fly
the
off.
Like,
it's a
really
bad
idea. And they had it in like its circus tent too, especially the big rifle that takes 20 minutes to reload. I know that's true.
All right, so I found, figured out the information about the leaks or the hacks. There was 1.5 terabytes of the network's data that was acquired.
Ugh, that's gross.
It includes Ballers, Room 104, and Game of Thrones. They only released the script and the show for the upcoming episode, so for last week. But now they also have all of the cast's phone numbers and address and personal information, and they are threatening to release it unless they get $6 million in bitcoins.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm like...
So they just, are being sleazy now.
Yep. Before, if they, you know, releasing one episode just before HBO is kind of, you know,
Yeah.
Which also explains, I didn't look at it, but I heard it was very terrible quality. So with the 1.5 terabytes and this much information, yes, these videos are not great quality because a good, you know, 4K or 1080 will eat up a lot of space really fast.
Especially with those huge long episodes too. Yeah. Well, just an hour, but still.
Well, they start adding up really fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's kind of sad that they had to go sleazy on it.
I know.
You don't start threatening the actors.
Oh, and they also apparently have documents that have been leaked that bear the watermark with the message HBO is failing. Like, well, I doubt it, and you guys should just know. This isn't like what Fox did. They're not like, oh, look, they're being mean. No, they're doing what they've always done.
This one got like an
terrible.
Actor's like,
they're actually
address
kind of
thing. I don't know what they really
thing.
Do with that, and the actor could just change their phone number.
Yeah. I don't know. But it also, there's not enough evidence, apparently, to believe that the, you know, it's been that much compromised. You know, they got cybersecurity firms behind it and everything. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure somebody knows Peter Dinklage's address.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing. I'm like, oh yeah, just
like it probably sucks worse for like the BNC
for.
Plot
like, okay,
stars
I got a new
for
phone
Game
number.
Of Thrones because
when
they probably
calls
don't
you
have
for
like,
a
an
job
entourage
for me,
to like keep them safe.
Call my new number.
Yeah,
exactly.
For the big
and my
actors,
address,
like, they're gonna be fine.
Oh, that's in the then. Hollywood maps that somebody sells on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, if they spin it right, the B and C actors could turn into A actors because my name was leaked.
That's right.
Oh, you have my phone number?
Great.
You want
to give me a
job?
I didn't know what was with the ending. What was the cliffhanger
there? Well,
give
me a job.
I need one. There's only like 9 episodes left.
On one end comes up, there's a tri-cat at the top of the water, which
is great. Three episodes.
Yeah.
The alternative is he just drowns in the water.
They almost gave me a red shirt.
I forgot to ask you that.
The other things aren't going to go well for Jamie.
Is Jamie drowned or is he just somberly sinking to the water?
Yeah, it looks like a puddle. Like it's here. I don't know why there was just like this puddle that went to the center of the earth. This dragon was like,
I know.
Well, that's deep. I'm gonna chill out here while I get this little tiny arrow pulled out of my wing.
Yeah.
I was thinking that was really deep, a lot deeper than I was expecting.
I know, that pond was huge. I was like, you're in the ocean? I know.
Yeah.
Because I thought that too. I was like, the dragon's just standing there burning everyone, and so
yeah,
Jamie can't hold his breath forever.
Kind of
like you said, he's either going to drown or just
drowning.
Be like, yeah, about me charging
like,
you with
Jamie,
a spear.
Jamie was
don't
strapped.
Kill
he
me
had the,
now.
Can we go?
You know, peace for a moment. Mm-hmm. Well, he is in full armor.
Except for the
so
helmet.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to wear
a
helmet if you're
on
the if you're
one,
in the
having one
of
hand,
Game of Thrones.
He has to at least get half of it off, or he might be able to get half of it off,
mm-hmm.
so he can like slip out.
Yeah, because the key, that's been employed by like four different actors. They kind of have to keep a helmet on now because they don't want anybody to know.
Yeah, that's true, because that was his
just,
whole,
it,
like, general
no, just, it's just like one
outfit.
Actor on top of another's shoulders to make the mountain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, unless you're the mountain.
That's true.
I know. it's four actors all put together. It's not actually, like, four
that's
different
right.
people. Yeah.
I was gonna tell you guys too. Bran is my favorite in that whole season because I like how creepy he is.
What about Arya?
No, but you can't even compete with Bran because Arya, it's like, yeah, you just like to kill people. But Bran's
like, just be like,
hello everyone.
Well, she must just
I
be
mainlining a robot.
Caffeine
I
or something
because
she has not
like
aged at all, and it's kind of weird.
I know,
everyone else has.
And I love
like
how
she still
he
looks
like
she's
aged
11,
so much. Like Bran, out of all of them,
like,
is like,
how
good God,
the,
are you
the
sure you're not
like,
recast? I'm
like,
no,
like
it's him. He just grew
so
to be
she?
Like 7 feet tall, and aged like 10 years. And Arya's like has some mud on her cheek and looks like 2 inches
maybe
taller
just,
than
maybe
season
maybe do the
one
thing
Arya.
Where they just like they just make her like walk around on her knees like door style with like shoes like with like her shoes taken off and put on her knees so she just looks really short.
I don't know. Go look at the back.
Yeah, she's like pretty much 20 because I know Sansa's like 21 or 22.
You remember the funny
BuzzFeed
video
gotten taller
where they,
and
where
has like
aged a bunch
a little
of young
bit.
Kids and NES, and they were like, "What?" And she like act like she had a backwards baseball cap on and like romper overalls and was like looking like,
she's
"Oh man, I'm a
the
generation after the millennials. I don't know what a Nintendo
she's
20 is."
Years old,
and they show it to her. She looks
like
all surprised,
like,
a baru look into the camera.
Yeah, she has.
It's like the dumbest thing that BuzzFeed is like ever.
She still looks young.
Do you guys remember
she's
that?
Not like...
All I was going to stick in the show notes is so stupid. Like, they just set it up. Like, I don't know if it's supposed to be, like, ironic, like, making fun of other clickbaity videos where they're... Because, like, at the time, there's people to, like, show kids, like, things that were no longer necessary, like, old pieces of technology. And they just showed a, like, they showed a pretty well-recognizable cultural artifact, the NES, to, like, some child actors. And they just acted, like, overly surprised when seeing it.
I don't think I saw that.
Okay. and also Isaac Wright, Bran, he's 18.
Yeah, he's 18.
And so. He's 5'11".
I know, he looks like... Even like...
he's the tallest character on the show.
Well, like Sansa, too, she's only 5'9". She looks like super tall, but that explains it if Arya's like...
5'1".
Yeah, she's got like 4 inches on Tyrion.
Well, let's see. The...
Oh yeah,
Brienne. She's 6'3", but she also was like super, you know, met in a scene, especially like Star Wars when she plays
Captain Phasma. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I think that's the idea behind it.
So it is, it is pretty funny though, because I just remember Bran had the most dramatic, because they, like I was saying earlier, they only took him out of one season, and then when he came back, it's like, good God, man, you've aged so much, and now this season, it's like he's. But I just like his robotic voice. That's why it's more creepy, because I'd rather have... It is creepy to have the girl who can murder you, but if you know you're on her good side, she's not going to do it with Bran. He's like, I am no longer Bran. He's like, I saw you, Sansa, when Ramsay had his way with you. I watched it in my mind. Over and over. I see it everything all at once.
Okay.
He's like, yeah. I am creepy paralyzed kid who sits in the snow by the tree.
And in a wheelchair.
I know.
Homemade wheelchair. Alright.
I mean, I love it. He's obviously going to be the instrumental role in the White Walker battle, but...
I think so is Arya.
Yeah.
She has the knife now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that'll kill. I that would be actually be really, really awesome to see her like doing like backflips and all this stuff through the White Walkers, just like stabbing us, you know, like the craziest ninja skills.
I don't know if she
skills.
Even burned the food. Like Danny makes the dumbest military like, decisions ever. Like, she should have just.
I know. I was like, that's.
I mean,
true.
It was on part. They didn't have to do anything.
No,
they could have just taken the food.
I'll be excited to see the consequences of
Danny's actions, too. It's not like the Dothraki aren't used to taking stuff.
Don't terrify everyone with your dragons. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to terrify everyone with my dragons.
No, no, no. She didn't terrify the people with her dragons.
Well, she burned all their food, though.
But that was the army that saw it. And also, that was just the end. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, except for...
She needed food anyways. No, I just mean, if they burned up all the food for the city, and then you have your angry barbarians. And if you watch that, too, it does make you more loyal to Cersei. If you're, like, in the castle, it gives her ammunition. Like, I'm sure that's where the show's going to go.
That was one of their ideas they were going to do anyways, is they were going to start cutting off resources. This is just...
Yeah.
That was the original plan.
Danny's going to be... Danny's
no, that's what I mean. It'll be interesting to see because
Mad
everyone kind of hates
Cersei's
Cersei,
gonna be
but
just
now you can say, like...
Dad.
Yeah,
like,
look at the crazy psycho that's
to be
melting
as, like,
people's skin off and burning all of your food with your barbarians.
But they haven't
like,
seen
there isn't,
that.
There isn't going to be a hero, and Jon Snow's just going to be, like, a hapless
right outside the walls.
No, it was at the end of the trail.
Because it does, he's like, oh, well, she's cute, and then Lord Frenzo's going to show up and be like, God damn it. I got all my skin scraped off for another dude show up.
The people. And people may also...
So, like, I got showed up by this chick's nephew. I got all my skin scraped off for, and this is what I come back to. And Lord Friendzone kills Danny. He becomes, like, the new, like, Kingslayer, and so we don't need Jaime anymore. It'd be really funny if the White Walkers showed up and then like Lord One Dimensional of the Ironborn Navy
exactly.
just like kills all it's the like, White Walkers. Like absolutely no fleet, and he just takes over the world. Like he just lets the zombies handle the ground war, and then he just like sieges them for like weeks from the sea.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's going to be good times.
I hope we find out that Bran just did like a bunch of mushrooms, and that's the reason he wants to be a three-eyed crow. Like, he just ate like just bowlfuls of mushrooms, and now his brain's like permanently broken, so he doesn't know he's supposed to be like the heir to the King of the North. He's I'm a three-eyed crow.
Ground troops, you pound can see the ground everything. For a while, and then you just, after a while, all right, let's walk in. Oh, they dug holes.
Exactly. They're hiding in their tunnels.
Yes.
White Walkers show up, and they're just like, you know, it's not worth it. Like, that's how they convince, like, the White Walkers to, like, not attack, and they're just like, oh, there's nothing to conquer. This place sucks below the wall. You caught?
Look at me. Ka-ka, ka-ka. Just rolling around his chair, waving his arms.
He just winks and then like hops over.
I hope someone's
like doing this weird chicken walk with his like fist tucked in his armpit, so he's got like little bird wings for elbows.
Yeah, I want him to play off of his
it's fistful
role
of
too, where they're
seed.
Like, send for a raven,
he goes
and Bran goes,
John's
"You
chariot
called,"
and
they say,
the
"Get out of here."
He has a windshield for some reason.
You called, and they say, "Bran, go sit by the tree." And disturbingly not get cold for some reason.
Yeah.
I want to see him. He's in his little pelt where he's flapping. He's like, ka-ka, ka-ka, rolling around.
Yeah. Just for that scene. All right. What's the other fun stuff coming up? They released the trailer for the third season of Mr. Robot.
Oh, yeah. I need to watch season two still.
I have season one. You can watch.
Because
we're not having regular television, I Amazon paid for all of those episodes.
Yeah. I know. I need to get on there and get that, too. I love that show, what I've seen of it.
It's
Season two hold up, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to buy the pass. I think I bought the pass for season two.
Yeah.
And it was worth every penny.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Star Trek gets its own con.
The same for three. Support the show.
That's not fair. Other cons have to have Star Trek in their con, too.
Dragon Ball,
you got to go to the Star Wars con.
Who's right, who's wrong, the left, the right, doesn't matter. The middle, somebody's going to screw things up. Somebody's going to make it better, maybe.
Oh, it's going to be Star Wars. Star Wars gets its own con, plus all the other cons,
I also forgot on the show notes, but last weekend, Star Trek had their convention.
Oh, okay.
And they released... Star Trek gets its own con? Yeah, it's had its own con.
I know.
Yeah, well, that's how big Star Trek is.
That's right.
No, they have to go to the regular Comic Con, or they have to go to the Anime Con, or they have to have their own con. Yep. Hey, Star Wars basically has its own con too. But
it's the Disney Con now.
Well, D23.
Yeah.
All right, so I put in the show notes. Star Trek, they released that about information about their new show that's going to come out. So if you are in any country but the U.S., you get to watch the new Star Trek show on Netflix. If you're in the U.S., you can pirate it all you want. No.
Yeah,
you can
exactly.
CBS wants you to pay... So that you can watch the first episode on the over broadcast air, or on their channel, and then the rest of them you have to watch on.
Just turns out Worf got hair plugs.
Hmm.
Then they also talked about the Klingons have different ridges in this one, and they have no hair. So they're like, well, we're explaining this with it. The ridges have, like, help with them hunting, and the women have pheromones, and there's all this stuff. Because that was the thing that people know. It's like, oh, they have no hair. Why is this? And they kind of went, well, there's going to be explanation behind this. And
okay. Exactly. It's like, that's why that happened.
So the idea is that, well, the idea they're going with is that not all Klingons live on the one planet that had the issue that was with all the entire Star Trek universe. There's others, too. Even though this is a prequel to the, you know, William Shatner or the Captain Kirk Star Wars, this has never been talked about before.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're hoping to get into a lot of that. I don't know. I feel like this is going to be, you know, if it gets watched, it's going to be more, they're not going to get the response out of it they were hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
Like people in other countries are going to watch on Netflix. They're probably going to turn around and pirate it and throw it online. People in the U.S. might pay for it. I don't feel like CBS is big enough. Like, I'm not even sure if I'm caring to watch it. I'm going to watch the first episode.
I know. I might watch some of it, but that's... Yeah, like you said, it's hard if that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people don't really pay for just, like, subscription to just the show.
Yeah. Well,
because...
Yeah, no. You can't say that because...
Well, you get, like... I mean, with that, if, like, that's all you're interested in, because I bought it to watch, like, American Gods, but then you get Stars, and so I was, like, watching other things on Stars, and I still have my subscription to Stars and stuff, so...
Well, no, I was going to say, like, HBO.
Yeah.
HBO can do that. Game of Thrones, the entire reason people get an HBO subscription.
But they have lots of other stuff going for them, too. It's because I still feel like other people do that because you say, hey, you know, I'll watch some other things, and they have all their movies and stuff. So CBS, I don't know.
They have all the stuff that your parents grew up with, all the stuff that you grew up with, and some stuff. And if you live in places like Pocatello, Idaho, not the local news.
Yeah.
Because they're like, no, we won't release that to you guys because you're not a big enough market for us to justify it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that? You don't get that live.
I know, so I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see.
I don't know. Especially where there's probably still going to be commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I don't mind the commercials in a lot of these shows when they do it. I was watching the CW app, but when I start seeing the same commercial and the same break for the third time in a row, and I'm like, I actually stopped watching some shows. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I was into the DC shows, I was like, I can't watch more than one show on this a week because I can't stand another whatever commercial you're airing.
I know.
I'm like, no, I can't. I think it was JCPenney was... No, Target. Target. Target was the worst of them. There's like the same commercial every break. You know, a couple of the other ones. I'm like, I can't do this. I'd like turn off shows. I'm like, I want to watch the show. I hate your commercial.
Yeah.
Get more advertisers. You're not this bad on TV. But, yeah, I could. But, of course, I do pay for, you know, the Hulu account that I don't have to have commercials.
Yeah, I know. So do I.
And I've been kind of questioning whether I should have kept it going because I'm, like, watching some old shows. And now I'm like, I guess
I think my auto keeps cutting out because I'm trying to pull up the article
watching those shows again.
Exactly when they come back.
This is how crappy my computer is. If I try to do anything other than stream audio, all audio cuts out. So I have to. I just have to work from memory here.
The worst con of the year.
This same con that I'm gonna have to look up the name of because I remember Fandom Fest.
I know. Alex,
is
what department store
that happened in Louisville, Kentucky last week? Did you guys really hear much about it?
Uh oh. He vanished.
Reports, it's just as depressing as it sounds. Like nobody had nobody had reported anything positive about this con, other than it did manage to get held, even though, like, the number of tickets they sold badly exceeded the number of people that Fire Marshal would allow into Macy's.
Well, I knew, like, we decided it's at the Macy's. I just caught the tagline where it said it was held in an abandoned.
They'd have to, like, make sure someone left before they let someone else in. So if you wanted to go see a panel and they're over fire code, tough luck.
Yeah. Oh.
There's a Doctor Who they had there too that actually did show up. He got a hotel room, but then nobody come pick up. So he's just sitting in his hotel room, just tweeting at the organizers, "Hey, can you come pick me up? I have a panel." And they never did anything. And they wouldn't take his calls. So there's just a Doctor Who that sat there
as
a panel in like a Motel 8, waiting for a pickup.
I didn't exactly cancel. They did not even confirm travel or accommodations with two deadlines accepted to do so. It was all on them.
I like how the organizers had enough gumption.
John, the show
must go on.
Oh my gosh!
But not to actually care enough that after
like
the show started,
nice
they didn't want to do anything to keep
good,
it going.
You know, nature and all that.
It's like you had a plate spinner.
All the plates spinning, but then just walked off.
They did a masterful job because maybe they lost all the prop plates and just like fine shot. Maybe they didn't have the poles, so they said use like walking sticks or like coat racks or whatever they had laying around, and they're just like, "Nah, good enough," and just walked off. It's like the opposite of like people that complain about like a spouse or something that can never finish anything themselves. This is the ultimate example of that. I don't know how you can catastrophically fail so bad at following through on something that you can do all that work and get like 95% of the way there and then just fail on like the last easiest 5% of doing this event.
Yeah. Oh, I see who you're talking about. Colin Baker. Yeah, he was... Yeah.
You don't need to go through the car wash. Like, a Dodge Caravan and a driver's license is all you need to pull that off.
I know, it's like, you have everyone there. Go give them a ride.
Yeah, go hand somebody. You don't even have to be
vehicle.
I want to give
the car organizers
the benefit
of the doubt,
the car wash
two
and
things
picking
that
people
stuck
up
out.
And saying, we'll be back.
We should probably stick this in the show notes, but... a couple things in the article about Phantom Fest that stuck out. Number one,
they wanted to give you like 500 bucks. You can do this for us.
So if you paid them, there just wasn't a refund if your celeb dropped out. So like even if you didn't want to get a picture of like half of the kids from Stranger Things, you still couldn't get like your refund because you weren't able to see Burt Ward. And the other thing that's bizarre is this con has apparently been going on for like years. This isn't their first one. They've done many more before this, but they couldn't secure the venue, and they also couldn't actually get the they couldn't actually keep it going. So I don't know how you end up in that situation that you can't like follow through that last little bit. It's amazing. Well, it's just Macy's. I mean, that's part of the Macy's experience.
Okay, so even better. Apparently, an animal had died in the Macy's, leaving a lingering smell the vendors complained about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even empty mall spaces are, you know, it even says, like, with the article, they're commonplace for a lot of things. You just have to set them up right.
Doing
everything.
A
they,
doing like
you know,
a tiny
no
con
that, you know,
Banner
so
Mall
of
isn't so crazy,
Macy's
but doing like a 70,000,
people were just like, okay, well,
like
throw my
70,000
rag
tickets
over the
to something
jewelry
like
counter
this and having it at Macy's is insane.
That works. And I don't know, but you know, it can be done. You know, I've seen it done well at other places.
There isn't benefit
but
of the doubt to really give to them anymore. Like, wow, I tried everything I could to feel sorry for them. It's just funny. Like, it's just dumb, greedy people being dumb and greedy and being rewarded for it.
Yeah. This is... Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I like it.
Okay, how about this? For a good Comic-Con, we're going to have a Comic-Con here in Pocatello on September 29th, October 1st for Snake River Comic-Con. You can get your tickets for that at snakerivercomiccon.com.
Oh, yeah, Ted's not here, so you can go snakerivercomiccon.com.
But yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to be hosting, and we're going to be doing a live podcast recording there. You show up, ask us questions. We're going to be a couple of the events. It's, you know, lots of fun.
Yeah, you're going to be like, get your nerd on.
Yeah. And yeah, there's, looking forward, our local artist who, Jason Brubaker is going to be there. The Salt Lake City Green Arrow is going to be there. We're going to be interviewing him, and it'll be lots of fun. And yeah, see who else we got. We got our local, fellow podcaster, friend of the show, Matt Davenport. He's going to be there. Let's see. There's so many. Russ Adams. I worked with Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, special effects on that. There's going to be Stephen Warwick Nunes. He's an actor, voice actor and composer. There's just, there's all this stuff going on. The local artist, Jason Brubaker, he does coffee table comics. The authors, there's cosplayers. There are all sorts of, fun stuff. The USS Star Trek fan organization. See, Star Trek is allowed at other conventions.
That's right.
Sounds like triple to me.
If you're going to name your convention Star Trek, you probably...
the USS Rendezvous. And then the 501st are going to battle it out.
Yep. Star Trek versus Star Wars.
That's right.
They're all going to hug it out.
That's right.
Yeah. Be lots and lots of fun. Russell Pike, he's on one of our previous friend of the program, working on author of Under the Nine Suns, because he's working with the actually the local artist and comic book store owner. Be lots of fun. So yeah, we're going to be, get your tickets. We'll be there. It'll be lots of fun. We'll go into movie reviews. Start with Dunkirk.
Yeah. I watched this twice. Me and Jordan drove all the way to Salt Lake to watch it in IMAX.
Yeah? How was it in IMAX?
It was really, really awesome in IMAX.
Must see in IMAX?
Yeah. Okay. It was worthy because the whole movie was filmed like... Because usually you can see, have you seen a movie in IMAX?
Yes.
You know where like the screens come out? Yeah, like 95% of that movie was full screen. Like nice. He pretty much, every camera used in that movie was an IMAX camera.
So I saw The Dark Knight Returns. No, Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, it was good times. And I thought, I liked how the movies just like throws you into the battle and that's the whole movie. Like they didn't even bother with like flashing back to like some war movies like to either... have the person before they start the war or like do flashbacks and stuff. In this movie, they're like, nope. You don't get any history of any of the people in the movie. They're just in their crap.
Kind of like Saving Private Ryan started on D-Day.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much that. And it just goes through. But you don't get any of like the homecoming flashbacks where they're like, hey, this is the mom. And hey, we're going to go save your boys. It's just the battle. Huh. Yeah. So I give it props. And Bill, it's practical effects. Because they're using real Spitfires. crashing stuff, no green screens, and it was pretty magical.
I never watched the original, like, either of the Trons, but wasn't movie? Like the Tron? I know enough Tron. About the lore of it I could ask Tron. This question.
Tron's practical.
It wasn't
effects?
The There's Master no Control CGI program,
the original
like,
one,
the
original
old crappy yeah. polygonal 3D.
I never really got into Tron.
Ah.
Yeah, the stupid cone thing. With the evil computer thing, I know enough about the lore of Tron to know what the master
like a,
to know
like
the master
top?
Control program is a thing in the movie, but I know nothing past that really. Like is that and then like it's extreme frisbee and motorcycles. You know what? It doesn't matter. You can tell me that it's all practical effects, and I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the yeah. motorcycles that leave their little light streams behind them.
Well, they ended up getting pulled from winning any awards because they were like, oh, you did CGI, and they're like, no, we didn't. Like, yeah. The light bikes,
assume it
all
is
that,
some,
that
right.
is, you know, they... built up sets and everything. Yeah,
that's
I don't know.
I got
sure 70
millimeter
master control program,
and it's it looked pretty okay. It's got a problem for me, like every war movie does. If it's a good war movie, it shows the horrors of war, which isn't entertainment. So I don't think I'll ever go back and watch it again because it's like I think it's a good movie, but like it's like generally war movies that are really good aren't very entertaining to me, just because it is like such a bummer to watch. The counterpoint to that is the scene where Tom Hardy is flying around in his airplane after it runs out of gas and like still shooting Germans down. Me and my brother were the only two people in the theater laughing, and we got hushed by a bunch of people for a sold out show because we were ruining the movie for them by laughing too much in the middle of this war movie that shows the horrors of war.
No, the
yeah,
thing
like,
that
a,
I liked about it on the second
of, like,
viewing is
to,
the,
of, like,
the timelines of that movie
the,
is really, really
the storyline
awesome.
Out non-sequentially.
Did you notice that, how it all converges?
Well.
Yeah, because and especially the second time around, it was really good. I just give it, it's props to Christopher Nolan. That guy's a freaking wizard as a director. Like, he... Like, because I remember with Interstellar, pretty much all of his movies, you
it,
watch those movies and you're
like,
that's like a guy that's really good at his job.
Other, like, modern
like
classics
he commanded
like
that
Ryan.
Movie and directed the crap out of
like,
it.
Like, I mean, it wasn't as entertaining as Saving Private Ryan was, but again, it's because it leaned more on, like, just showing the horrors of war and, like, telling the story of, like, a really harrowing experience. But I think it's, like, in terms of, like, war movies people are going to remember for, like, the last 20 years or so, I think that's going to be more memorable than about anything else that came out recently. That was PG-13.
Well, and I was so worried about the PG-13 rating because I was almost thinking, like,
that movie's just way too
Nolan's
intense.
Doing a PG-13 World War II movie. Yeah, that's PG-13.
Yeah, there's no gore
I know,
there,
they,
but like
they managed to just do the clever
so
filmmaking
much.
With not really needing all the gore. Because I mean, like Saving Private Ryan, that's yeah. And it was really clever on that part too. And so I think part of it was because it focused on like soldiers being attacked by planes and bombs, whereas Saving Private Ryan was like,
that
yeah, people are getting ripped apart by machine guns, and so the ocean's red by the end of the D-Day invasion.
I can't remember who it was, but like the dude that was like just had like the only survivor of his squad, that was like hiding behind that door and his rifle jammed, and like the door just getting lit up by bullets. That was that was my first cringe in the movie, and maybe my biggest cringe, just because that was so harrowing. Yeah, I guess I never even think about it, but there really wasn't a gore in the entire movie.
It felt incredibly
violent, but yeah, there's no gore in the movie.
Yeah, it's PG-13. I was prop, so it's good stuff. It's like, yeah, I thought with that movie how intense it was. I think having the extra over the top gore would have made it a little too gratuitous.
He can make a good war movie. He made his great war movie.
Violence wise. Yeah. I know. So I'm excited. I actually want to see him go back to making more like his thrillers. It'd be cool to see him do a little more.
That would be cool. He could be like, you know what? I just want to make people forget about Hitchcock. Boom. We're gonna make these incredibly suspenseful movies.
I know. Yeah, because he does all of his. He's proved with his Batman and Inception and Dunkirk and Interstellar, he can do his, like, Warner Brothers being like, here's $100 million, make a psychologically really well-structured blockbuster. And he's like, done and done, over and
good
over.
Good for that guy.
So, yeah. Yeah, so that's Dunkirk, Bill. It's a good movie.
How many stars?
No, I'd give that movie, like, in the... No, especially watching the second. No, that's like the A-to-A-plus movie. I didn't have any beef with that movie. No. I get like with Alex said, if it's because it is a war. Like even with, with my wife and everything, she doesn't like war movies, and so that's why I would say like if you're not really into them, I don't think it would change your mind because it is like firmly in that genre, but it's just doing it extremely well. But it's still a total war movie. Yeah, there's no other genres.
And it's totally. Worth to see in the theaters.
Yeah, because even I watched it the second time just in the normal theater, and like I said, you lose the epicness of the screen and the sound and stuff too, but even with that, because just the fact they're using real planes, like you just hear this like added to the intensity, and it has such a great score too.
Yeah.
So the intensity of like the Hans Zimmer music mixed with like the real effects of the bombs and the planes, it's like, yeah.
So, Alex, what did you rate
it? I'd say it's an A. It's not my favorite movie ever, but it's definitely an A. Like, it's... I can't think of any flaws in it unless... I guess I could say if you don't like war movies, maybe you won't like it, which I guess I fall in that camp, but I still think it's, like, an incredible movie.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even, like, try to make war, like, glamorous or anything.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like, try to paint anybody as, like, heroes. They're just sad, sad people that are trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that was a cool aspect about it, because it was. It's a retreat. Like, they're never trying to stand up or do, like, this is our last stand. They're like, no, everyone in that movie is like, get me off this beach.
Tom Hardy is the hero of the movie, if there was one. So, you know, I take it back. There's one hero in the movie, but, I mean, even him, he's a reluctant hero. Like, he kind of makes this, like, I'm going to regret it if I don't do something selfless here. I mean, he's being a good guy, but I mean, he's kind of like given a position where the alternative is he has to be a dirtbag. So it's not like I guess the counterexample to that is like a common theme in the very, very memorable movie American Sniper. It was constantly like everything is framed in this context of like, are you a wolf or are you a sheep? In this movie, it sort of approached the same subject, and it was, you know, like there's a very definite moment of, do I save myself or do I hang out here? And it was kind of like, yeah, screw it, I'll just hang out here. Like it wasn't like this swelling with pride moment. It was like, man, screw it, may as well.
Well, and Alex, I liked it too because I thought comparing to like his other co-pilot with him too that, yeah, they were both in that same boat because they didn't over-glamorize Tom Hardy. It was almost like, hey, like I just happen to be a more skilled pilot, but like the other guy who got shot down and crashed, I feel like Tom Hardy would have been like, yeah, I still would have been trading places with that guy to just get saved by the fishing boat. But both of them were in their position of like, yeah, I just am not getting shot down, and they're shooting down people, so I'll just keep fighting until that happens. But I'm not gonna like
Which doesn't even seem like if you want to like take the Jordan's not here to play devil's advocate for it, but argue against the straw man Jordan anyway. Like the odds of being in the British Royal Air Corps and surviving more than like a couple of years was incredibly low. So, I mean, you may as well, like, just do something crazy like that, because you're probably not going to make it through anyway.
Yep. So he was... Yeah, and it was good, and he had his excuse. So he was definitely... Yeah, that's a good point, Alex. He was a hero, because he has a part where his gas gauge get blown out, and the guy was even like, do you want to keep going? Like, you have no idea how much fuel you have. And he's just like... And he could have been like, yeah, you're right, I'm banking off back to England. But he's like, no, I will Tom Hardy on.
He's a hero, but he's not the... I guess the point is, he's a hero, he's not an amazing hero, but he'll do.
Exactly. People are grateful he was in the sky, for sure.
He's doing the equivalent of holding the door open for a few people that were coming and going. All the while shooting Germans with no gas.
So...
All the
while shooting Germans with
no gas.
I know.
Move on to an even better movie.
Oh. Man, yeah, Alex, now we're not going to be friends
anymore. I'm glad I got
the
agreement out of the way, because I just want to fight you on this.
So I guess
before we start, we'll just give our letter grades of the movie.
Okay, go.
I don't know. I have a hard time, Alex, because I would still... Like, it wasn't painful, so that's why I wouldn't give it, like, an F. But it's definitely, like, I'd put it on with, like, the Ninja Turtle movies. It's definitely, like, in
a
D range. I'd give it a B,
maybe A minus. Like, I really enjoyed it, but it's not the best movie ever made. Like, in terms of, I derive so much enjoyment out of that movie, but it's, like, I think it's, like, a letter B.
I just thought it was hard too, because I did see that. I went with Megan,
King fan,
my wife. No, she didn't read any of the books and didn't have that. But her intern, that's a girl, Jordan, went with her boyfriend, and they both read the books. So we basically had three book fans and one non-book fan, and everybody
didn't
like
it. That's the word. I had the opposite experience. Wow. Cause James, well, actually, the book fans like the ending of the Dark Tower series.
Yeah, no, they, like, the one, the female Jordan,
that's so
her
weird,
favorite
like,
book
Jamie,
series, period.
Jamie loves the series. She loves the end, and she also loved the ending, which a lot of people didn't like.
Yeah,
and
I like
the
ending
to
the series.
And the only Dark Tower book I read was The Gunslinger. I haven't read the other six books. Which, I mean, you could accidentally read The Gunslinger. Like, it's like the length of a Wikipedia article.
No, that's true. Wow. Well, it just, I don't know. It bugged me because they did, like, I don't know what they're going to do with it because they left it open to a sequel, but they crammed in eight, because it's actually like eight books now because they did like an expansion one, and they crammed like in the entire cycle of the Dark Tower into a 90-minute movie.
So it is a sequel, but they tried to...
Yeah, like it continues in, but it completely like resolves itself. Like it settles everything.
It's only like a 90-minute movie
because it and that's
short.
What's kind of annoying is they introduce you to the world and then completely resolve it in 90 minutes.
And I was hearing there was like minimal character really development. It was, we need to go here and we're here.
And I like the campiness of Matthew McConaughey, because before, like, that's what made Megan start laughing, because I told her, I was like, I bet you he's just gonna be Matthew McConaughey, like, as a sorcerer. He's just gonna be like, well, all right. I'm going to go around.
An abracadabra.
And it just, yeah, and that's pretty much how it was. It bugged me that he goes around, because he goes up to people and he's like, stop breathing. Go to bed. Hey, shush, be quiet. And he's just like throwing his hands around and he's like way overpowered compared to the books.
I mean, that's kind of Randall Flagg, though. I mean, they're kind of leaning more the Randall Flagg that we saw on The Stand.
Yeah, he definitely is more of that. It's just the sleazy, like, hillbilly guy that's wandering around.
He's a sociopathic wizard, like, hillbilly is like basically what he was going for, which I mean my first exposure to Randall Flagg was from the Stand TV series, so I'm used to, like, that is my vision of Randall Flagg, and I will never get over it. Like that's, like, in terms of what that character does in his environment, I thought Matthew McConaughey did a really good job.
Well, the other piece that bugged me about it, too, is that, like, the boy in the trailer, you know, Bill?
Yeah.
He's like the first 20 minutes. So you have like an hour and a half movie that you only get like the gunslinger as like a supporting character
at best. And the main idea of what the world is.
Yeah, who's like
it's
not
so
developed.
It's so weird to do that because it's like the never-ending story. And Jake was I forgot the name of the kid, but yeah, it was basically the never-ending story, but set in the Stephen King universe. And instead of a flying dog dragon, you have Idris Elba as the gunslinger.
Oh yeah, so that's the other thing also I heard is that the Dark Tower, and for what I understand, so the Dark Tower is like a compilation of all of Stephen King's stories.
Well, like the Dark Tower is at the center of his universe because even like the It monster.
Yeah.
That's Pennywise the Clown, like, comes. So basically, like, everything that goes bump in the night in Stephen King comes from the gunslinger's, like, world. And, like, all those creatures and stuff.
And also, doesn't the kid has his abilities is The Shining.
Yeah. And they have, and, like, one of the good examples, that, like, in the books is that the world of, like, The Stand, like, so there's alternate parallel worlds, and, like, in the Gunslinger's world is where the Dark Tower actually exists, but it unites all the worlds, and in the book series, like, there's a timeline that's, like, the today, well, it's really any, it's basically the the Dark Tower's Earth and that, but then they reference, like, The Stand world, so it's kind of cool, so it does unite it, so it says in all these books there is a universe in the Stephen King world that was wiped out by the super flag, or the super flu. And that's what, like, the man in black, like Alex said, is Randall Flagg, who's the guy that's walking around and But they didn't get into any of that. It was all wasted potential.
So here's where I wonder, which is kind of a good segue for my question. Obviously, the Dark Tower series is basically just the Avengers for the Stephen King universe. Does it feel like the script for the Dark Tower movie was a Star Life as a spec script for setting up a Stephen King cinematic universe? Because, like, I mean, that's canon, but does it feel like that's like it's supposed to be the Batman v Superman for the Stephen King cinematic universe boot up?
Okay, so
they might have
before this movie was going to come out, there was supposed to have been a series that was going to be on TV.
Yeah.
The series,
it was going to be on HBO, like Ron Howard wanted to do it.
Yeah, a lot of people were, they kind of had some people, but no channel officially was picking
it up. Which is insane for how many people picked up that series and read it.
Yeah. So, with the movie out, they're in talks again to try to get this series going.
Well, yeah, I heard about wanting to do that. But the hard thing about it, like with yours, Alex, is that they're like it's coming out, but it's owned by Warner Brothers. And so it's not even the same studios. And so I don't know if they can even do that because Stephen King just sells out his rights like book to book. And he sells it for a dollar. Like he doesn't care about people getting it. So basically anyone who wants to adapt anything, it's all scattered amongst like everyone in the world.
But what wouldn't he still have? Does he sell off absolute movie rights to it?
Yeah, he just basically, like somebody says, "Hey, I want to adapt your book," and he's like, "Give me a dollar,
yeah,
and you can do it."
Anybody, like if they buy the book rights, he'll pretty much just give them whatever they want. Like he signs on every dotted line. Like Stephen King won't not take a deal ever for a movie or a TV series.
Because he doesn't care, because he doesn't want to make money, because his attitude is like, I've made, like, a huge fortune off of being a novelist, so I could care less about making money off of the adaptation. So he basically says, yeah, he just enjoys, I think, watching them come to life. So he says, if you have the passion to adapt this, adapt it. Like, go for it.
Okay, so, but Pennywise is in this, right?
No, he isn't.
They reference...
Okay, cause I was going to say, if he's... I thought he was, like, in the background somewhere.
No, they have, like, an amusement park that says, like, Pennywise. So that's, like, the reference thing, but he's not in the movie, though.
That doesn't really mean anything anyway, like, if you have Pennywise in your movie. Because Pennywise could be, like, a leper. It could be a wolf. It could be a giant messed up spider.
Yeah.
It could be somebody's mom. Like, Pennywise could be any of those things.
Yeah.
Because the clown, it is just, like, a single creature of, like, a species.
I'm wondering how much, like... Other like maybe people can't go, we are making an It movie, but we still have the rights to use this character because it technically still does belong to this universe.
And you bring up a good, it might, because of the fact that he gives it away for like a dollar, it might not be exclusive, because it might be one of those things where if somebody says, hey, like, he's just saying you can adapt it, but you don't, like, own the characters.
Yeah.
Which could, in that case, they could do
it.
Because that is, like, I think that's what they were going for, Alex, is that I felt like they didn't care about, the actual arc of the books, that the movie's attitude was like, read the books. Like, we just said, blah, 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 blah. Like, here's basically the cycle of the series in 90 minutes, and we got that out of the way, and now we have a character who's going to go on Stephen King adventures, because that's basically how it ended. He's like, well, we resolved everything in the Dark Tower universe as far as the book, so come on, Jake, let's go on adventures.
Yeah, I kind of hope they never do that, though. Like, it's... I mean, for as much satisfaction as I derive from the movie, it's if they ever made a sequel to it, it had the same problem that Neverending Story 2 had.
Yeah,
like they can't, like they can't dip back into the Dark Tower universe and it'd be interesting.
Well, okay. Well, with that, it would seem more like either a Doctor Who style story, or some of the other like time travel ones, or even where the or even like Sliders. Your jump is actually more probably like Sliders. Remember the sci-fi TV show?
Oh yeah.
You're jumping from universe to universe, and you have to resolve your problem so you can go to the, you know, try to get back home. In their case, they have a little more control over it, kind of like Doctor Who, or like, you know, time travelers who actually can control their time machines.
If they let Joe Hill write a Stephen King Presents The Twilight Zone style show of just like jumping between different universes from the Dark Tower universe, and they do have just like Jake and Roland as the characters, that could be great. It's not going to happen, though.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know what they're going to do.
Sells off the rights for, like you said, a dollar.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the other one? Morty.
Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty style.
Yeah.
Give me that. I know. Rick and Morty style Dark Tower.
They could. Who knows?
Oh, jeez, I'm not Roland.
Yeah.
Pickle Morty.
Yeah, it was hard. And Alex, I was surprised with you too, because I was watching it with you guys in mind, and I was like, it's like, because it took itself super seriously, so you can't say it was campy. Like, I could see like
it being
an 80s like John Carpenter movie, but I didn't even think they needed the Dark Tower itself. I wish they would have just done their own movie, because even the Dark Tower, basically it's not even in the movie. It's just like in a mysterious undisclosed location where Matthew McConaughey's like, you got The Shining, and he puts kids in like this visor and like launches their head beams at it. Yeah. And then you see like beams hitting the Dark Tower, and it felt like the movie was like, oh yeah, show the Dark Tower so people know why this movie's called The Dark Tower, even though no one ever visits the Dark Tower, just kids.
Yeah, it's incidental that the Dark Tower is the Dark Tower. Like it's more or less a motivation for Randall Flagg. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't, they don't explore much with any of the characters, because it's like you said, Bill, like it's very flat characters in a very, very quickly developed world.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of weird that this is like, it's like for all of its trappings of feeling like a modern day blockbuster, it just bucks the trend of so many other blockbusters, because they don't have like characters that take several movies to develop, but they don't. And the movie's only an hour and a half long.
Mm-hmm.
And the plot is very cool. Is like very linear, and you can tell exactly where they're going with it, like at all times.
Yeah.
But they also end up taking, you know, very serious, very literal. Oh, the book says it's like this. Well, there it is, exactly like it is in the book. We didn't really make it look good for TV.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I was just disappointed, because I thought they were going to adapt the original. I felt like Ron Howard just gave up. It'd been like his passion project that he's just like, oh, they fired those guys off the Star Wars movie, so I'm going to do that. Just like do whatever, because they're not going to do what I wanted to do, and I don't care anymore. And they're like, okay.
You're definitely the majority if you aren't a huge fan of the movie, because it got like, when we went to go see it on Rotten Tomatoes, it had 21%.
It's down to 18.
It's 19. Oh, geez, it got worse. That is bad.
IMDb is 6 out of 10. So IMDb is a little more forgiving. So you guys are actually extremely forgiving compared to the critics at Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, no, I mean, I'm right there with IMDb. I'm like a 6 out of 10.
No. That's an 18 out of 100.
Yeah, but I mean, all that means is there's like 80% of people, critics who saw the movie, gave it like a D.
Yeah. It's just the fresh, because like mine, I would count against that, because my review wouldn't push it fresh, so I would have been a splattered tomato as well.
Yeah, okay, I guess, you're like IMDb less Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes is,
Yeah, that's just the overall, which, because, I went back and forth, because I almost was like, when I left, I was like, man, that movie's an F. But when I thought about it, I was like,
But they...
No, it wasn't like walkout worthy because I sat through it. But the other piece of it too is that the 95 minutes, it still felt like a 2.5 hour movie. Like I was like, ugh,
I don't even like. Not... I mean, in terms of like just holding my interest in stuff, I didn't like have any moments where I felt like I had to forgive the movie for anything.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, in terms of the stuff you felt like you had to forget, like, you'd have to make an effort to forgive, like, what was the major flaws of the movie? Like, I'm asking out genuine curiosity, not to question your judgment.
No, it was just the fact that, like, the first 20 minutes was just boring because it wasn't developing any world stuff, so I thought it was just wasted time, and I hated that, like... They should have done it where you open with the gunslinger, and then if you want to, because that's how I would have retold it, especially if you have that limited time, is like open with the gunslinger, have him find out from the man in black that there's this kid who has the super shining, and have Roland go interact with him, because I thought that was a huge mistake of just having this flat, boring kid who's like 20 minutes of the movie, like seeing his therapist and arguing with his stepdad. I was like, good God. So that was
thing. That was a very weird opening. Going back and thinking about that, I'll give you points there.
So that's
There's one thing I would like to say if I was going to give a 1-sentence synopsis of the movie. The Dark Tower is a study in how untreated mental illness can result in pedophiles grooming children.
Exactly.
Because that's essentially like if you take away the Stephen King mysticism, it's a story of this hyper violent man. Grooming a kid to like come back with him to his world.
I know. Well, it was
because like if Roland's fake, this is a bad, bad story.
Yeah,
not Roland, but Randall.
Yeah, because it's true. Because that's the one thing that's why I couldn't like give it like an F and say I hate it. Because when Elba and Matthew McConaughey were on the screen, like it was entertaining. It was cheesy. Like it was most like I liked Matthew McConaughey when he wasn't in his lab. That's the other thing I disliked is because I thought when he's like playing mad scientist, like he's being sorcerer, like hillbilly sorcerer out of his lab. Then when he shows up, I was like waiting for him to slap on his laptop and he's like, gentlemen, what is the results of the next brain scan? And like that was a weird disconnect too, where he's like running to his high tech laboratory.
It must just be like an effect of nostalgia with me. I ate that part up, but that's also just like the Stan TV series, like kind of set up the Stephen King universe in my mind is like this kind of cornball-y thing that like any Stephen King movie except for The Shining has to follow. There are these like very very archetypal villains that kind of follow like a cookie cutter cutter pattern of just being needlessly cruel to serve some ridiculous end. So like I was just operating off of nostalgia when I saw that part. It's like, he's got all of his underlings that fear him but work for him for no apparent reason other than he happens to be a sorcerer.
Exactly. It's like he gives them face masks basically.
Yeah, he makes them wear snot theirs because he doesn't think they're pretty enough, and they just inexplicably work for him, even though he doesn't need any help because he's a wizard.
Exactly. That's what I thought. I was like, you didn't need your super lab. You could have just, like, stolen the kid and, like, used your powers to suck out his own or, like, do what anyone does and, like, absorb his brain matter and then go, like, zap the tower down yourself or whatever, but...
I do like that they're able to establish and justify how Roland was able to fight Randall, just for whatever reason Roland was incredibly incredibly physically durable and also like could also resist magic.
And they were the end part made me laugh too, because that was some pretty terrible CG at certain parts, like when he's flinging all of his glass shards and all this other crap at him. I was like, come on.
I like that part.
But I don't know. I liked a few of the moments, like when Roland goes to the hospital and stuff too. They're like, you have hepatitis A, B, C, and this and that. And he just chugs some pain pills and like, because there's a funny part where he gets infected with something and then he goes to Earth and he just like chugs a Coke and a crap load of pain pills and he's suddenly okay.
Of course.
Yeah, he basically just like eats Pfizer and washes it down with a Coke and he's good to go.
Well, when he's been dealing with his entire life, I bet ibuprofen never having it before, it'd be like, best thing ever.
I know.
He single-handedly affected the prescription opioid crisis. Like the aftermarket for all those pills, just like the prices shot up. all because of Roland rolling into town because he had like an owie in his arm.
Yeah.
So that was pretty fun. I like that he became Max Payne by the end of the movie, basically.
Like, oh my god, he wants Max Payne.
And he's like, give me more Vicodin, James.
Because after that, like, he ate some pills, and then after that, he had bullet time and could also, like, kill 100 dudes with two pistols.
Exactly.
Well, we should probably wrap things up, though. We ran a little long.
Okay.
So we'll go with famous last words. Go ahead, Alex.
All right.
He's like, Jake, give me some more sugar.
I can't even. That's it. We're done.